99.1 The Sports Animal brings you inside the fight game of the MMA.
Oh my God.
With a weekly one-hour show.
Whoa!
In the Cage MMA Radio.
Dude, this might be a bad idea.
Hosts Vince Ferrara and Tim Loy bring you a unique perspective from inside the sport. Vince is an MMA lead commentator, cage side at many events. Tim Loy is a former MMA organization president and current matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge.
From the bottom of my heart, I'd like to take this chance to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Get big-time national MMA interviews, pay-per-view recaps and previews, matchmaking, predictions, strong opinions, compelling content, weekly things you'll learn, and more on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Three-minute rounds. We're underway in Knoxville.
Here's Vince Ferrara.
Follow me. Follow me to the place where the sun meets the moon, where all our differences fall away like stars from space.
In the Cage MMA Radio. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to weekly MMA Radio here in Knoxville on 99.1 The Sports Animal, 99.1 TheSportsAnimal.com, and on the WNML mobile app powered by Big Kahuna Wings. I'm Vince Ferrara alongside Valor Fighting Challenge matchmaker, Mr. Tim Loy. Tim, how are you, sir?
I'm well, Vince. I'm excited to break down this 250 card, man. It was a wild one.
There's so much with that card to discuss, but there's so much in fight news going on that we're guest-free today. There's a lot to react to. We got some matchmaking. We're going to lean on our matchmaker to do so, and I'll chime in with some opinions as well on that. And we're going to make fights. We're going to preview the upcoming event this coming Saturday, and we've got news from Dana White on Fight Island. That's coming up in our big three stories. We start there with UFC 250. Tim, Amanda Nunes, the GOAT, was absolutely dominant. Give me your thoughts on her dismantling of Felicia Spencer.
You know, we talked about it briefly last week. We just didn't see Felicia Spencer having what it took to give Nunes, too much of a run. And that was exactly what we saw. You know, it was very dominant. We'll get into it a little bit more later in the show. But yeah, Nunes definitely showed that she is the top of the pack for a reason.
And Tim, this was a showcase for the bantamweight division, the depth there. I mean, that division is lit, and there a lot of those stars, rising guys, were on display on Saturday night at UFC 250.
Yeah, that was the theme of the night for me, too. You know, I was really excited for the bantamweight contest. You know, we had three on the main card that were all pivotal, as well as another one on the undercard, that mattered as well. So a lot of bantamweight movement, and I think after this show, you're going to have a lot of good potential spicy matchups.
Spectacular knockouts. Goodness, Cody Garbrandt at the horn. We saw the Sugar Show with the knockout as well. A lot of those spectacular finishes. We'll get into that all in our next segment. All right, Fight Island almost became a myth. Is this thing real or not? Dana White, yesterday on Tuesday, got on ESPN and revealed the details of Fight Island. He says it's on Yas Island, Y-A-S Island, in Abu Dhabi. Four events from Abu Dhabi and Fight Island, July 11th, July 15th, July 18th, and July 25th. So you got a Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Saturday. The main event for UFC 251 there on Yas Island on July 11th will pit Kamaru Usman against Gilbert Burns. It had been long talked about, Tim, and having Masvidal in that spot versus Usman, but it's going to be Gilbert Burns. Another fight, Volkanovski against Holloway is a good one. Pieter Jan against Aldo, that's been discussed for that interim strap. Andrade against Namajunas, Hibas versus Van Zandt. Just from a fight standpoint, your thoughts on what you see with those top five?
They're definitely coming out with a bang for Fight Island. You know, we get right. Three title fights, two female fights, round out the main card that will have some impact on the rankings. It's going to be a great night. Three big title fights that are all very highly anticipated. All of them could main event their own show.
I think Dana White used the word ridiculous. I think that's pretty fair. It's stacked. And look, the next two cards are far from ridiculous in their depth for the UFC, so it's nice that they're loading up for that. But they're able to get more of the international fighters on this card, and that's one of the things that Dana White has regularly talked about. I have to fight outside the U.S., or we're going to burn out our U.S. fighters with travel right now. Fight Island allows them to do that. And he talked about the safety zone they're going to have in the island within 10 square miles that's just going to be inhabited by the UFC. They have an arena there, hotel, training facilities for fighters that will be private, dining establishments, and an octagon on the beach. Like, there's images out there as well with the covering of it. It looks pretty fancy and spectacular.
It does. It does. I saw those pictures as well. It is. It's exciting. You know, I'm excited to see what they do out there. And, you know, if they kind of take some of the same production angles and tricks that they've been using on the last couple shows and do it out there, I think it'll look really good.
Yeah, I think so. Safety of the fighters is going to be asked about, but everyone's going to be tested, quarantined, and then they're going to be in that bubble on Fight Island during that period of time. Also, Dana White announcing that it's finally here. Stipe versus Cormier 3, the trilogy. UFC 252 is when it will happen. That will be August 15th at a location to be announced. Got to be excited about this one, that we're finally going to get to see some closure in the division.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for months now, and there was a little bit of doubt if it would happen at all, but definitely exciting to hear that it's going to happen. You know, we'll get a little bit of movement. Like you said, the heavyweight division's kind of, you know, sitting, waiting for something to happen there, you know?
No doubt. Our third point in our big three stories, UFC 250, Fight Island, details finally being announced as number two. And then our third one is all of the discord. Conor McGregor says he is retired. Timmy tweeted, "Hey guys, I've decided to retire from fighting. Thank you all for the amazing memories. What a ride it's been. Here is a picture of myself and my mother in Las Vegas. Post one of my world title wins. Pick the home of your dreams. Mags, I love you. Whatever you desire, it's yours." What's your reaction to Conor McGregor saying he's retired, Tim?
Man, how many times has he retired in the past few years? Right. You know, this isn't the first time. This seems a little half-hearted, in my opinion, as far as if it were truly a retirement. I feel like he's kind of, not going all out like he eventually will, I think. So I think that this is just a negotiating tactic of anything. Conor's different than the rest, man. Like, the UFC, they count on a big gate when Conor fights. When Conor fights, they pack out arenas. It's a big deal. The live gate matters. And, you know, and Conor is going to get paid a lot of money to fight. So it's got to make sense. And the timing has to be right. So I get both sides' frustration ultimately. But, you know, I don't think he's going anywhere, man. I think he's just trying to get the UFC to poop or get off the pot.
Yeah, well said. The star fighters, their leverage is diminished during this because, as you mentioned, of the live gate. You don't get that. Now, their pay-per-view buys, certainly that impacts business. Normally, you have both a live gate and pay-per-view buys to give you more leverage, and the stars just don't have that right now. Dana White saying, look, I haven't fired anyone, continuing to do shows. We're in a pandemic, so I'm not complaining. I'm paying the guys the same amount of money. Dana White said on ESPN yesterday, he's frustrated. They told him that if something happened in the Gaethje-Habib fight, that he could step in. And Conor told him that he's not a replacement fighter.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, you know, well, yeah, Conor has, I think he's moved the needle enough to kind of be able to at least expect a properly promoted fight. So I'll give him that.
Yeah. And then Gilbert Burns is like, hey, all these guys retiring now, Dana White, you got a real fighter here. I'll fight any one of these guys. You know what? He's getting a fight, and he's getting to slide in for Masvidal, who is also unhappy. As the list continues to grow, there are guys that are unhappy with Dana White and the UFC. Masvidal wants out of his deal. He still has 7 fights left on his deal, Tim. That's not going to happen.
No. He's not going anywhere. He knows he's not going anywhere. And this is a case, man, you know, I see, you know, what the fighters are saying, but at the same time, like we just established, the revenue streams for the UFC are limited right now. So, right. You know, if the fighters have signed contracts that state that they're going to get paid X amount of dollars to for their fights, then, you know, that's what they should be held to at the end of the day. If they don't agree with a particular matchup that UFC throws at them, they don't think it's worth the money, then they can negotiate a different opponent. Much like Sean O'Malley, you know, people are already clamoring for him to take a big fight, but he said, you know, he's not really interested in fighting the best guys in the world while he's still on a contract that he earned on the Contender Series, which is not going to pay him the amount of money that he would normally fetch for that. And as such, you see him fighting Eddie Wineland and the like.
Right. Yeah, and that could very well continue. And even though he also mentioned that, not in a disgruntled way, that he'd like to renegotiate his deal, so he's going to get locked up longer in return for that.
Of course.
But that's the right play for the UFC, is to get him a new deal, don't you think?
Of course, yeah. I mean, that's the smart thing to do. You don't want to not extend this guy out for more fights when you're about to push him into bigger marquee fights that are going to be towards the top of the card against your top guys. You don't want to let him get away after that. So, yeah, I get it.
So one of the things that Masvidal, in his complaint publicly about the UFC, was that the UFC forced him to agree to a contract extension and more fights in order to give him the payday for him to fight next. What about that leverage play by the UFC to add on in order to let guys get the money they want for one particular fight?
It's very much commonplace. Yeah. That's not the first time that will happen, or will it be the last time that happens? That is, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, if Masvidal wasn't happy with the amount of money that he was going to get for his next fight for that opponent, he could have negotiated another opponent that he liked for the purse that he was set to get. He wanted that last fight. That was a big fight. It was a big marquee match. He got paid well. That doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you're going to get to use that as your jumping off point from now on when you're on a different deal.
Back to Connor, one other thing that Dana White was asked about is, hey, what about Connor versus Masvidal? And so Dana White kind of laughed that off. He's like, well, we can do that fight anytime. Connor wants Habib. Connor wants Gaethje. And interestingly, those guys are fighting each other and not Connor. But that's not really something that they're looking to do. And by the way, he did also add that they've signed Usman to a new 6-fight deal as well.
Yeah, I think that, you know, a fight with Connor for Masvidal would certainly fetch him more money once again. That would be a situation, I think, where Dana knows that, you know, to get that fight, he's going to have to pay up for it. And he's not really interested in doing it right now because he can't sell it properly right now.
Right. No doubt. So we're going to have to wait to see Connor McGregor. Wouldn't buy all of the retirement stuff right now. And we've seen it before. Later on the show, we'll tell you about someone who has claimed retirement that's already talking about coming back. So there's a recent example for us to refer to. All right. He is Tim Loy. I am Vince Ferrara. We'll review UFC 250 next on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
99.1, The Sports Animal marks the passing of a legend. Johnny Majors.
Make them remember you as long as they live. The way you hit and the way you knock them downfield. And the way we hustle. Attack, attack, attack. Always attack. And by all means, have fun.
We will always remember Johnny Majors. 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Did you hit the snooze and miss any of today's starting lineup?
Boy, that was embarrassing, huh?
Well, sit tight. We've got you covered.
Are you critiquing people with their push-ups while they're on social media posting live video?
What's that form look like? Is that a rep or no? What do you count as, like, if you're not going parallel, is that a rep?
If you're not going parallel, it's absolutely not a rep.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely not a rep. And there are so many people that are like, oh, I'm going to post this, and I'm just like, oh, that's so embarrassing. Don't do that.
So I think we need to – can we incorporate the half Herschel here? You know the half Herschel? There was years ago Clay Travis tried to get it going and it didn't work. It didn't take. It was like fetch. He was trying to make fetch happen and it didn't happen. So Herschel Walker did a bunch of interviews and said that he did every day 1,000 push-ups, 1,000 sit-ups. And that's how he stayed in ridiculous shape. Can we incorporate the half Herschel where every day during this quarantine – we're going to do 500 push-ups, 500 sit-ups or crunches or whatever you need to do for your abs. And can we add this to it? 500 air squats. Maybe not 7, but at least 6 days a week.
Those 500 air squats will get you.
Yeah.
Because I did the...
Volume, baby.
Oh, man. I did that one CrossFit workout last Memorial Day, and it called for 300 air squats, and I couldn't walk for 2 days.
How'd you do it? Was it the Murph or whatever?
The Murph. I have been doing 100 push-ups the last 4 days.
Have you really?
Yeah, I mean, just 100, but yeah. I've been doing it the last 4 days. Now, times that by 5, I mean, goodness.
So I don't usually do, like, Like, I'll do negatives with push-ups, and I don't usually do push-ups. Yeah. So you don't get a ton from it.
Did you just verbal flex on the air?
A little bit.
Okay.
Hashtag humble brag.
No, nothing wrong with that. So can we get that going? As long as this quarantine is going on, we're going to do 500 push-ups, 500 sit-ups, and 500 air squats every day.
I will 100% do that if we three make it. A pack, and let's extend it on to the listeners.
Ivans, where you at, buddy? Ivans, 500 push-ups, 500. You got all day to do it.
I think you guys are going to look great.
No, man, I think we should all, you know, have this.
One of us wearing a shirt. Because we're businessmen.
What am I committing myself to? Go ahead, say that one more time.
500 push-ups, 500 sit-ups, 500 air squats every day.
Again, all day. The way I've been doing my push-ups, just commercial break.
Swole.
Can you show me what these air squats are when we're at break now?
Back in the day when I used to do morning sports on News Talk and WIVIC, me and Hal used to do sprints back and forth up and down the hallway, and then he'd do 20 push-ups, and then he'd do like 20 of the ab wheels, and he'd knock those out.
He had an ab wheel here?
Yeah, and he'd do it in the Vol Network call screen booth, right? And so, but we got to this thing where we would do like, we do push-ups, and we'd do, after at every break, 20 push-ups.
That's
every
awesome.
Break, it was 20 push-ups, and then we started doing planks. And it was like we'd have a plank competition between me, him, and Chris Marion. Chris was training at Fitness Together too, and so we got up to where 2.5-3 minute plank that we were able to knock out.
Come back from right now. This was
but you know what? The show had so much energy. it did.
The starting lineup with Tyler Robbins and Will West.
Weekday mornings 6 to 9 on the Sports Animal.
At East Tennessee Children's Hospital, when we say child life specialist, it means
they make hospitals less scary.
When we say we have the most skilled pediatricians, it means
he explains things so I can understand.
And when we say East Tennessee Children's Hospital is one of only 46 freestanding children's hospitals in the whole country, it means
it's a place all about me.
Get to know East Tennessee Children's Hospital now for those unpredictable moments down the road. East Tennessee Children's Hospital. We get kids. Learn more at etch.com.
Now it's time for In the Cage MMA Radio's weekly marquee interview. Letting you hear from the personalities inside the sport.
In the Cage.
Welcome back to In the Cage MMA Radio with matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge, Tim Loy. I'm Vince Ferraro. We are your duo each week from 8 until 9 Wednesday nights here on 99.1 The Sports Animal and 99.1thesportsanimal.com. You can find our podcast posted after our show airs on the show page on the website where all the archive shows are. You can go back and listen to past shows and interviews, but also on iTunes, on Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you rate us, share, subscribe. Comment on it and tell all your friends that there's an MMA radio show here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Normally we do interviews here, but because we have so much to get to, we are going to review UFC 250 here in this spot. And we'll start with the main event as the GOAT, the champ, Amanda Nunes. We went the distance with Felicia Spencer, 150-44 on two scorecards, 50-45 on the other. Tim, I don't know why there weren't more 10-8 rounds for Nunes. I thought she was that dominant to give, what, one 10-8 round and the rest 10-9s? I thought there was probably at least three. What do you think?
Oh, at least. And, you know, it seems like that's the criteria that they want them to judge 10-8 rounds on now. She more than met that. You know, she was dominant, absolutely dominant in maybe, honestly, four rounds even, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I didn't see that fight going all five rounds. I'll tell you, I bet the over 2.5. And in the third round, I was like sweating. I was like, oh, man, this might be over real soon. It's certainly going to be over, you know, in the fourth. And lo and behold, they let her come on out into the fifth, and she finished the fight. And if anything, we saw how tough Felicia Spencer is. But, man, I kind of question her corner taking care of her there because, you know, I don't see any realm of possibility that she was coming back in that last round to what could she do? It was obvious that she just didn't have a path to victory anymore.
Absolutely not. Totally agree with you. After the third round, Tim, they told her, hey, let's stick to the game plan. That's been a feeling out process and a warm-up. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a feeling out process is like a minute or two or maybe one round. But like after 15 minutes, yeah, you felt all you need to feel, I think, at that point.
Oh, man. I just thought that was wrong. I mean, you got to be real with your fighter. I know everyone's personality is a little bit different, but to not be legitimate with your fighter and then to send her out there for the fifth round on top of that. It was unnecessary punishment, in my opinion. Spencer, so tough, and big time respect for her doing what she did against Cyborg and Nunes. I mean, you can't take that away from her. Despite her toughness, you got to look out for her. I just wasn't a fan of that. Amanda Nunes is now on the list, the longest active UFC win streaks. Habib has 12, Nunes has 11. Most title fight wins in UFC history. John Jones, of course, sets the bar with 14. He's 14-0 in title fights, to Nunes and Aldo with 8. Now she's defended her title in 2 different weight classes, which of course is incredibly rare, and she has the most wins in the UFC by any female fighter in history as well. I mean, you can go on and on with the accolades of the GOAT.
Yeah, I think that defending both titles in both weight classes is kind of like the check mark she was looking for here, you know? Right. I don't think a lot of people put a lot of stock in Spencer having much of a chance here, but there's really just no one else in the division left to fight. You know, we can talk about Megan Anderson or something like that, but I still don't think that that's going to be very competitive, you know, ultimately. And it just goes to show that the lioness is, you know, she's on another level. She's on her own tier, you know. There's nothing that anyone can do that's currently in the UFC.
Totally agree with you. And she kind of intimated to Tim afterwards in the post fight with Rogan that she wanted to show that she could go 5 rounds, 25 minutes, and that she probably could have done more during a fight, but she wanted to go the distance.
Yeah.
That tells you how dominant she is, that she just wants to get the work in right now, just playing with cats.
Yeah, I think she knew that she was going to be taking a pretty good break here, and she wanted to get the cage time in ultimately. And I think it was, you know, she probably could have gotten her out of there by the second or even the third if she really wanted to buckle down. But after hearing that she wanted to go that extra time, then, you know, that kind of explains why she didn't get her out of there.
And she barely took any punishment. I mean, Spencer wasn't even landing on her. It was that dominant. Huge class from Amanda Nunes. All right, let's get into some of the bantamweight bouts. Cody Garbrandt, goodness, kind of mentioned it in the first segment where he wiped out a Sun Tzu there at the end of the second round. Your thoughts on Garbrandt's performance?
Incredible, man. I was really happy to see him get back on the winning track. I liked him in this fight. And, you know, more than anything, he showed discipline this time. He showed patience. He didn't let himself get drawn into anything crazy there where he could potentially get that that chin check. And ultimately, he just stayed patient and waited for that right moment, and he surely landed it. Like you said, right at the bell. I mean, it couldn't have been any more at the bell.
Aljamain Sterling, goodness, man. Sterling, he dominated from the jump and then finished him with an RNC in the first round. Boy, I talk about making a statement. That was Sterling.
I didn't expect that. I actually liked Sanhagen in this fight, mainly just because his team had been on a tear. You know, his teammates with Gaethje and Drew Dober and those guys have just been, you know, running roughshod. And so I thought that momentum would carry over for Sanhagen. But alas, Sterling had other plans. And really, this was his statement win, where I think we're going to be seeing him in that title picture.
We'll talk about that in the next segment. We do some matchmaking. He went straight there and calling the guys out that are getting that interim title opportunity. And he feels like he should. There's no reason he shouldn't. I mean, he's got a great record. And this was a showcase event. Two guys ranked in the top 4 going into the fight. So I think it was a clear statement. And Sterling definitely should be next. Another bantamweight division statement win was the Sugar Show, Sean O'Malley beating Eddie Wineland in the first round. Just took him 1:54 as well. Another spectacular win. Wineland, a vet, he was clearly there for the work for O'Malley. Give me your thoughts on O'Malley.
Man, he's got the goods. He's improved so much in that year off where he had the USADA issues. He came back just jacked and really, you know, it really worked on his physique and his conditioning, and he's just such a presence now. He's tall, lengthy at that weight, and just so skilled. And he's a character on top of it all. He knows that he's a guy that is very marketable and will be in some big fights. But like we mentioned in the first segment, you know, he's not in a rush at this point. He won his contract off Contender Series, which is very much a starter level contract. You know, I don't know exactly, you know, you may have it in front of you what he made on this fight, but he isn't ready to start fighting the top echelon guys while he's still under this contract. But he gets it. He understands he'll either need to renegotiate his contract or he'll fight these type opponents until it's time to do that.
He was just under 100,000. He just missed the cut. I want to say high 80s, low 90s in terms of what he made with everything included in the bonus and everything like that.
Well, that includes a $50,000 bonus?
Yeah. So, yeah, it makes total sense. I mean, he's 12-0 now. So at some point, the UFC is going to have to take care of him from that standpoint if they want to book him in those bigger fights. And we'll see. Also on the main card, I thought a very impressive performance by Neil Magny in a win over Anthony Rocco Martin. Although they went the distance, I thought Magny was pretty much in control throughout. What do you think of Magny's performance?
I thought it was good. I liked Martin coming into this fight, and I thought Martin did enough to at least get one round. I saw one of those was 30-27, which I thought was right. A little wonky. But, no, I thought Magny at least got 2-1 there. And, you know, he's not the most aesthetically pleasing fighter, you know, but he's very effective, and he uses his length to his advantage, and he fights smart. And he's a guy that I think he'll be getting, a marquee matchup probably soon.
All right, some of the undercard fights. You had Alex Caceres beating Chase Hooper. First loss for Hooper, the big prospect. This was one that surprised you, Tim.
Yeah, you know, what we knew coming into it, you know, he's a young buck, very green, very good grappling, but his striking is just very, you know, I think they called it rudimentary, and that's a very good, word for it. I was thinking that in the small cage that Caceres wouldn't be able to use his footwork as well, and that eventually Hooper would kind of collapse on him and drag him down, but man, Caceres was just world's better striking, and Caceres is very much a middle of the road guy, a featherweight, but he's an experienced guy, he's a vet, and it was just too much too soon for young Hooper.
Our guy Gerald Meerschaert, who we've seen in Valor Fighting Challenge, well, he had a tough go of it. Ian Heinisch made quick work of him. Crazy, this one, Heinisch, I guess someone from his camp had a false positive test of COVID, because it happened multiple times now, but he was cleared to fight. He beat Meerschaert via TKO. What'd you make of this one?
Man, I was rooting for Meerschaert there, but Heinisch, man, he's heavy-handed, he's tough, and, once he started laying in the ground and pound, it was elementary. Meerschaert just kind of turtled, and that was it. So Heinisch, holds serve on his ranking, and I would imagine he will want to fight a fellow-ranked opponent next instead of having to defend that ranking against an unranked guy.
Impressive performance and heavy hearts, man, for Cody Stamann and what he had to deal with and losing his younger brother. He beat Brian Kelleher, went the distance, unanimous decision, but it was 30-27 on all three judges' scorecards. He got emotional afterwards. For him to fight through that with that kind of tragedy in your family, and now he'll have to go back to that reality since the fight is done. What a performance and just incredible fortitude to be able to fight through that for Cody Stamann.
Oh, no one would have blamed him at all for pulling out of that fight, given the circumstances. So props to him for seeing it through. And, you know, it may have been a bit of an outlet for him, at least for fight week, to kind of, not dwell in that and focus on the fight. And he really executed well. Kelleher's a tough guy that has sprang some upsets, over some good prospects. And so he kept his mind on the task and got it done. And I'd expect to see him get a big fight next.
Yeah, Mikey Patolo beat Charles Byrd in a middleweight bout. Patolo's jacked up, man. Second round TKO, he looked good. Another Hawaiian.
He did. And Byrd retired, actually, after that one, I believe. Charles Byrd did. Patolo is one of those guys that you just don't know what you're going to get. He's a hitter. He obviously has that knockout power, and he's a big jacked up guy. But, his last fight out, he lost to a blown up low-tier lightweight in Callan Potter. So he's very unsteady, I guess we'll say. I'd like to see him string together some wins.
Last couple here quickly. Alex Perez beat Juicier Formiga in that very light, no pun intended, flyweight division. What'd you take away of that first round win?
I was surprised he got him out of there with leg kicks. A vet like Formiga, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's one thing to take out kind of a green guy with leg kicks, but Formiga is a salty vet who you think would be ready for something like that. I think that we're going to see Perez in a big fight next, probably one more before a title.
Those leg kicks are something you're seeing. Joe Rogan mentioned it during the broadcast. You're seeing him more and more in fights. Heavyweight bout, Devin Clark upset previously undefeated Alonzo Menifield. They went the distance, 30-27, 29-28 on two cards. Man, Menifield with a strong start, but just ran out of gas, and then it was Clark coasting to the win.
Oh man, he was smashing Clark in the first round. Clark was turning away. He was starting to shy away from the fight. I thought they may stop it. But, man, Minifield emptied that gas tank in the first, and he was just hanging on for dear life in the second and third. Clark started to come back, got that decision win, and a disappointing loss for Minifield in a fight that he was fairly heavily favored.
And things continue to roll well for the Burns family. Herbert Burns took just a minute 20 RNC win over Evan Dunham, who came back to the sport. Burns now looking for bigger and better things as well. Herbert.
Yeah, the Burns are on a roll, man. You know, I actually kind of like Dunham as the underdog in this fight. But Dunham, you know, he overcommitted on a strike, gave up his back, and then you can't let a grappler of that caliber have your back, you know, and it was elementary after that. Dunham was out of there.
Highest paid on the card, Amanda Nunes, with fight dollars and win bonus together, $450,000. Lowest paid, Mikey Patolo, $20,000. So there's your gap.
And he won.
That's exactly those 10, are 10. Yeah, those are the winners, the gaps between the winners. All right, we'll do some matchmaking for Saturday's winners and preview UFC Fight Night. I versus Calvillo, that's next on In the Cage, MMA Radio.
Warmer weather's finally here, and Roger L. Newman Heating and Air can get your cooling system ready for the warmer weather and follow the CDC guidelines. Need a repair or a new unit? They're here to make it easy with multiple finance options and no payments for up to 12 months with approved credit on new or major repairs. Select from the best home comfort solutions from American Standard, the highest standard of comfort, ranked the longest-lasting brand. Roger L. Newman Heating and Air, affordable, honest, and reliable. Go to RogerLNewman.com. Or call 982-5446.
Interested in making a higher income with better benefits for you and your family? A pension for retirement? The International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craftworkers Local 8 Southeast represents the best in the masonry industry. They currently have immediate job openings in the Nashville marketplace for individuals in the masonry trades. Don't wait. Change your life now by contacting BAC Local 8 Southeast at 615-394-2994. That's 615-394-2994. Or visit them at BACLocal8SE.com.
Hey guys, it's Ainge for Kings of Real Estate, and my friend and trusted realtor Tracy King with Kings of Real Estate is on fire. Tracy sold the home on Misty Ridge Way for $10,000 over asking price, never hitting the MLS, utilizing his extensive list of ready buyers. Agent selection matters, and now's the time you need to work with an experienced agent with a proven track record like Tracy King. I've had the pleasure of sitting down with Tracy's clients who always say we're so glad we called Tracy King. I've seen Tracy's systems and his extensive list of ready home buyers, thousands of pre-screened buyers looking for homes in the Knoxville and surrounding area. Tracy has a solid track record and guarantees to sell your home at your price, or Tracy will buy it himself, guaranteed, in writing. Do yourself a favor and call the agent with the buyers. Call Tracy King at 365-2323, 365-2323, that's 365-2323, and start packing.
Your YMCA is loaded with new programs, new classes, and new equipment for the new year. Visit the Y to find something for everyone in the family. Heavy lifting and basketball for dad, hundreds of group classes for mom, and child watch, pools, and youth fitness classes for the kids. Even better, it's all free with your Y membership, with no contracts, no long-term commitments, and nationwide membership. This year, make time for healthy habits as a family at the Y. Visit ymcaknoxville.org. to join online today.
Dishes for hours.
There's nothing like making a meal with every pot and pan you own.
Hours of dishes.
Savor every bite of this meal, chef, because for dessert, you'll be having
so many dishes.
Ditch the dishes and get Taco Bell's $5 Chalupa Cravings box instead. A Chalupa Supreme, beefy five-layer burrito, crunchy taco, cinnamon twist, and a medium drink for only $5. Order ahead and get yours at Taco Bell's contactless drive-thru. At participating locations for a limited time. Prices may vary. Tax extra. Drinks exclude freezes.
Napa know-how.
You don't have to know fancy terms like ceramic, metallic, and calipers to know that screeching brakes aren't a good thing. And now at most Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, you'll get a $75 prepaid Visa card when you spend $250 on brakes. Do it yourself or have it done for you and save $75. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 6/30/20.
What big events are coming up in MMA?
Well, right now, Vince and Tim have the answers.
This is the pay-per-view and MMA show preview on In the Cage MMA Radio.
Back here on In the Cage MMA Radio, weekly MMA in Knoxville. Appreciate you listening. You can reach out to us on social media. Find me on Twitter at Vince Sports Tim, on Facebook. Just search for Tim Loy, or make sure you follow Valor Fighting Challenge, and those will get to Tim as well. If you have any questions, comments, feedback on the show, we'll love to get those from you. And then, of course, if you're interested in being a sponsor on our weekly show here, talking MMA in Knoxville and beyond, hit us up as well. All right, it's UFC on ESPN 10 back at the Apex in Las Vegas. It's I versus Calvillo. Jessica I just watched a replay of her getting dismantled by Valentina Shevchenko a while back. 15-7 is Jessica I. She's number one in that women's flyweight division, taking on 10th ranked Cynthia Calvillo, who is 8-1-1. Is Calvillo ready for this jump in competition, Tim?
Yeah, I actually like Calvillo in this fight. I do. Jessica I hasn't shown me that much yet to think that she would be deserving of a number one ranking. You know, I think Calvillo comes from a good camp, the alpha male, and you know, she's ready for this one. I actually like her to win this fight.
Wow, I'm surprised we agree this. I like the underdog as well. I don't know what the numbers, the odds are, or any of that kind of stuff.
It's near a pick, actually. I is a very slight favorite, like minus 120.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. I like Calvillo, her style, and you're right. Just maybe I've been influenced too much by some of those rough fights for Jessica I, but that's the main event. Co-main, Carl Roberson at 9-2 against Marvin Vettori, 14-3-1. Middleweight bout. These two have some history and some serious heat there too. Tim.
Yeah, you know, it went from being a fight that was just kind of, okay, that'll be a pretty good fight, to now I'm actually kind of interested in it. They were supposed to fight in London, and they ended up canceling that show, obviously, and then they were supposed to fight again in maybe the first show back, even in Jacksonville. Not the first show back, but the second show back in Jacksonville. And Roberson, I want to say, had a bad weight cut and ended up having to pull out of the fight at the last minute. They had a huge blow up in the hotel lobby that I'm sure you can find video of. And Vettori was enraged, man. And so, like, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how these guys shake out there. I think it'll be a good heated battle.
Yeah, I got that Italian blood boiling and reacted. Actually, that hotel, I've been there numerous times to cover Tennessee in the Gator Bowl when they played there. So that whole lobby looked so familiar to me. It was there not that long ago when Tennessee beat Indiana in the Gator Bowl in January. But yeah, that should be fun. You know, you got a couple of names beyond that. Ray Borg is on the card. Jordan Espinosa's ranked 10th in the bantamweight division. He's taking on Mark De La Rosa. Hannah Cyphers is back in there. Just really not a very deep card overall. Just the Andre Feely people, you know, against Charles Jordan, just not an overwhelming card. Doesn't mean there won't be good entertaining fights or these fighters aren't working their way up. The name value, that's a known commodity, those are short, I think, on this card.
Absolutely. You know, we've got some flyweight males that may shake up the lower end of the rankings, and, you know, a couple interesting fights that will probably have some decent action, but this is definitely a quarantine card if you were ever expecting one, just kind of filler to a degree. I think there was guys that they needed to get fights that maybe their fights had fallen out in the past, and this just worked out for them. But comparatively speaking to these other cards that we're getting, this is probably the least one that we've gotten, in my opinion, since they've been back.
Yeah, agree with that. All right, let's get to some matchmaking with the matchmaker. Tim Loy, matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge, fantastic regional organization that is based here in Knoxville, with shows coming back at the Cotton Eye Joe July 3rd. We're going to talk about that next segment, update you on some of the fights on that card. It's exciting that Valor Fighting Challenge and local MMA is coming back. So we're going to use Tim's matchmaking abilities and try to figure out the one best opponent for some of the fighters that we saw get wins on Saturday night. We'll start with Amanda Nunes. You mentioned Megan Anderson. I mean, people are throwing all kinds of names out there, none of which is really going to move the needle, I think, for a lot of people. Irene Aldana, Aspen Ladd. At Ladd is 9-1. Megan Anderson. Is there somewhere else they could possibly go to give her some sort of challenge?
Man, you know, Anderson is the only fight left at 145. I don't see her just turning right around and defending the 145 belt, though. I think that at 35, you've got three girls that are, you know, she hasn't beat yet, that are kind of up towards the top of the rankings. Aspen Ladd, Juliana Pena, those are two right off the top of my head that come to mind. But, you know, those are still and then Holly Holm is fighting
Irene Aldana.
Irene Aldana, yeah. So Aldana, that'd be the other name. In my opinion, I think that, you know, we already heard that Nunez wants to take off the rest of the year. She's have maternity leave coming up, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So if she doesn't fight for the rest of the year, I say we, you know, put some fights together to get one of those people to emerge. If Aldana beats Holm, then that's a good win that gives her some shine. You know, maybe you have Aspen Ladd, you know, fight Pena, something like that. Something to build one of these other ladies up is what I think needs to happen.
And I really like Juliana Pena, but she's not at Amanda Nunes' level. That's the
about wrestling, you know, that she has a path, is a very difficult path. Right. But like one can maybe in some crazy realm see her getting the takedowns and maybe being able to hold her down for 3 out of 5 rounds. That's the only way, but it's unlikely still.
So if I was to pick one, I would pick Pena. Who would you go with if you had to pick one?
Yeah, I guess I would go with Pena as well, just because she does have really good wrestling. I think that, you know, the others just aren't really ready for that level. They don't have the power to really give too much worry to Nunez, I don't think.
Right. It's fluid. It'll change. All right. Cody Garbrandt got the bantamweight win. Who's next for him? He's talked about TJ Dillashaw, who's 17-4, Sean O'Malley at 12-0, Pieter Jan at 14-1, Moraes at 23-6-1, Corey Sandhagen 12-2. Jan and Aldo are fighting for the interim belt. O'Malley, we talked about how he's not going to take those big name fights right now in his current deal. So what's the next fight, do you think, for Garbrandt?
You know, I think there's a couple fights that look good out there. I think Sandhagen could be a pretty good fight, even though he's off of a loss. You know, I think those guys would make for a pretty interesting matchup, honestly. That will probably be my initial lean, although Stamen maybe has earned the right to take a fight like that. But Stamen's got, like, such powerful, overwhelming wrestling. I don't know necessarily that is a great matchup that they would want for him, for Cody, right next. You know, I like Sandhagen.
What about Moraes? Like, why isn't he in the mix right now? He's the number one guy in the division.
Well, I guess there is a little bit of argument that you could say Moraes versus Sterling, but I think Sterling just should wait, and I think he'll get the winner of Jan and Aldo. But yeah, I mean, Moraes and Cody would be great. It'd be an awesome striking battle. I just don't know if it's like maybe too much too soon still for Cody, you know, coming off of his losing streak, maybe one more fight before that.
Okay, interesting point there. All right, so I'm with you. You convinced me on Sandhagen for the next opponent for Garbrandt. So Aljamain Sterling, this has pretty much been settled. Jan and Aldo are fighting Fight Island and for the interim belt, and then it goes to Sterling, who gets the title shot, right?
That's what I would think. I don't think that Sterling needs to take a fight before that fight happens. No. I think he needs to just wait and he'll get his title fight. And that's the way to go, really. You know, I'm not real thrilled to see, you know, Jan is fine, but I'm not real thrilled to see Aldo in that slot when there's so many other guys that I think would be better.
Coming off 2 straight losses, yet he's in this position.
Right.
And I think Henry Cejudo took blame for Aldo being in this position. We'll get to Cejudo coming up. All right.
But they could have just waited through this weekend.
Right. Exactly right. Exactly. Sugar Sean O'Malley, what's next for him? Is it, we talked about a little bit, maybe not the big name fighters, but so who falls in that category? Uriah Faber's a big name. He's not a contender right now. Song Yadong, is that a matchup for O'Malley, or even is that too much of a step up? Cody Garbrandt, we kind of ruled that out. Where does O'Malley go?
That's an interesting one, man. I think that, you know, Yadong may be still a little level above what he's wanting to fight at this current pay scale.
Right.
You know, so, man, that's a really hard one. I would say more likely we see O'Malley go back to the negotiating table and get a new contract and extension to take a better fight. I don't know that I love the matchup with Garbrandt. I think it'd be a great fan-friendly fight. But, again, I don't think it's right yet. I think we can still make it a bigger fight down the road. You know, so, you know, thinking about 135 guys that can crack some, you know, maybe we look at or maybe even the prospects. You got your Hunter Aziers or Brian Kelleher, even though he's coming off of a loss, you know, he's spraying some upsets. He's got he's going to want to crack. He's going to go out there and bang, and he's hard to knock out. So, you know, those are some options that maybe if he doesn't get that contract renegotiation, he's still fighting at this level.
Because we don't know the contract, I'll go with just from an entertainment value and maybe they find a way to get that deal done. I would go with Song Yadong. I think that would be awesome. So that'll be my choice. So what's your pick?
Man, I'm going to go, I think, with Kelleher, I think, just because stylistically, and then just assuming that he doesn't get that contract redone and he fights, you know, a mid-tier guy.
So on that note, Cody Stamann, who we brought up, Jimmy Rivera, Corey Sanhagen, somewhere else. Where does Stamann go for his next fight?
Yeah, that's a good one, man. Yeah, I think Stamann needs to get, you know, a good little step up this time. How about Stamann and Yadong? I actually don't dislike that so much. I think that's an interesting style matchup with the wrestling, kind of canceling each other out. I think that's pretty decent one. And I also don't really hate the idea of him and Sanhagen if it ended up not being Sanhagen and Garvin.
That's my pick, is Sanhagen. I mean, yeah, Sanhagen ranked fourth, so coming off of a loss, Stamann is on the rise. I think those two can meet, and there's probably not a huge gap in their ability. So I like that one. To the flyweight division, Alex Perez, what's next for him? Brandon Moreno, Pantoja. Pantoja is fighting Askarov. I guess he could fight the winner there. What do you think for Perez?
I think that the Moreno fight's the fight. I think it's a great fight. I think Moreno's hot right now, too. The winner of that fight, I would actually probably put it into a title situation, maybe against the winner of the aforementioned match or the Figueiredo-Benavidez rematch.
I'm with you. It's Moreno. He's hot right now. I think he absolutely deserves to be in that title contention, and Perez is on a nice roll also. So that's my matchup also. And then last one here, and we'll get to break. Herbert Burns, Grant Dawson, Ryan Hall. Is there a bigger jump for him? And both those guys are one loss guys. What would you do with Herbert Burns?
Ryan Hall would be really interesting from the grappling perspective, I think, at the very least. You know, that wouldn't be a bad one, actually. I think that would be a fun one. That would be a back and forth, you know, just the two very different grappling styles from grappling specials.
Is there anyone ranked that you would consider, a Dan Ige or maybe a vet, Stevens, or Emmett? There's other guys that are in there. Would you go a vet direction for a Herbert Burns, or do you like him with someone a little bit younger?
Man, I think I still like him with another younger up-and-comer personally. Just thinking about some of the guys that are in that 145 division, you know, or, you know, another fight that may be interesting just stylistically-wise would be Calvin Kattar.
Yeah, I do like that. I'll go Calvin Kattar. I was going to say Grant Dawson, but I like your idea better, so I'll go with that. And what was your call for Brian?
I like Calvin Kattar. I'm going to switch off of it and go with Calvin Kattar. Because originally I liked that Ryan Hall idea, but Hall is very sporadic in how often he, you know, he fights maybe once or twice a year, you know?
Right. Good stuff. We'll do that more in the future.
Yeah, it's like
matchmaking with the matchmaker. Put those on record and have you check it out and see if any of them pan out. The MMA lightning round, including an allegedly retired fighter, not named Connor, already willing to return. We'll tell you about that next on In the Cage, MMA Radio.
To take the latest on Tennessee sports coverage with you anywhere you go, download the Sports Radio WNML app. Powered by Big Kahuna Wings, the wings that changed it all.
Here's a Sports 180 soundbite.
The suspension of sports and the fear that there will be more cancellation of sports. As yesterday, Cincinnati announced that it was going to cut the men's soccer program. And there's a story that's up at Yahoo Sports that Pete Thamel put together talking about the conversations that are taking place around college athletics and Group of Five commissioners putting together a letter sent to NCAA President Mark Emmert where they are looking for maybe some changes. And there's a lot of conversation about sports sponsorship, all that stuff, just trying to figure out what they can do and maybe a resetting of college athletics in some ways. But interesting to see what happens at the Power Five level, the Group of Five level. What is the future of sports? What is the future of conferences? There are a lot of questions and, of course, a lot of planning that's trying to be made, but that's with the unknown of the financial impact still of what's going to happen over the next year, the next few years.
I know this would be really hard to get done, but we are talking about a reset. So with people being laid off and things, you're probably not going to go and hire someone, but this is, again, another opportunity to bring up the discussion about the common sense coordinator that needs to be hired to govern college athletics, especially if they do go through a major reset. Because you brought it up while we were off the air, college sports has operated in sort of a fantasy world for the last 10 years with skyrocketing salaries, with conference realignments, and, you know, schools like West Virginia now competing in the Big 12, and the amount of travel expenses that were added to their budgets. I think this would also be a prime opportunity to separate football from the conversation of the rest of the sports. I think you still have the scholarships count towards the Title IX and all of that. I'm not talking about a complete cut, but let's govern football for what it is. It is just a totally different animal. There are so many players on the team. It needs to be just kind of separated and dealt with, governed in its own regard. And then let's start thinking about the other sports, because I don't want to see other sports cut. I mean, obviously, I played a non-revenue sport. It was a huge part of my life, and I want other people to be able to experience that. But we got to use common sense. There's no way the West Virginia volleyball team should be traveling to Texas multiple times a year to play Texas Tech, Baylor, and Texas as part of their Big 12 schedule. Like, let's apply common sense and maybe go back towards a more geographic alignment for the other sports to compete in a league, so that they can still have the opportunity to win a conference championship and take football out of the mix.
Benchmark Physical Therapy is a leading physical therapy provider dedicated to bringing you back to your best. Benchmark focuses on proven methods, people helping people. Benchmark has more advanced certified clinicians than anyone in the region and outcomes that exceed national standards. Benchmark therapists know the importance of establishing trust with their patients. With over 30 locations in the Knoxville area, we have one close to you, including North Peters Road, Callahan Drive, Easttown, Alcoa, and Maryville. Visit BenchmarkPT.com for a location near you.
There's still a lot of MMA to tell you about and react to. Since we're short on time, we'll have to make it quick. But we promise it'll be good. Here's the MMA Lightning Round on In the Cage MMA Radio.
We are back on In the Cage MMA Radio. It's Lightning Round time. I'm Vince Ferraro with Tim Loy here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Great news, Tim. We've been waiting for this opportunity for Liv Phoenix Parker, who's undefeated, part of Valor Fighting Challenge. She has been so aggressive in trying to market herself and get her name out there, deserving of a shot, been so dominant on the regional level. And she's finally getting an opportunity as Invicta announcing, as they put out their card for Invicta 40, no fans, July 2nd in Kansas City. And Liv Parker will fight Chelsea Chandler, who is 2-1 from California, who's moving up in weight class to get to this featherweight bout. What about that opportunity for Liv Parker?
Man, so well deserved. I'm pumped for her. You know, she's so talented. She's got a great story. Mm-hmm. Undefeated for life, you know, hasn't ever lost a fight. Really hasn't been in too much trouble. And honestly, is long overdue at 4-0. I think a lot of people have kind of ducked and dodged her. And so congrats to her for getting this opportunity on Invicta, taking on Chelsea Chandler, who I believe fought some at 135. So if Olivia has a nice size advantage here, hopefully she can put that to use and get some more great opportunities.
Yeah, Chandler moving up to featherweight to meet Liv Parker, and congrats and all the best to Liv Parker. Such a super person and extremely talented and fighter worthy of that opportunity.
Another Valor vet on that same card, our former strawweight champion Gina Gooden will also be on that Invicta card.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. That is true. Good luck to Gina Gooden as well. Valor Fighting Challenge returning July 3rd, the night after that Invicta 40 fight. It's actually a Thursday night. But Valor Fighting Challenge on Friday night, back at the Cotton Eye Joe that's reopened. Tim, bring us up to date on the card and the fight shaping up.
It's going to be a fun one, man. It's an all amateur show, you know, so these guys always get out there and get after it. Been on a good entertaining evening. We're excited to be back. Of course, we're going to crown our new 170 amateur champion. It's Alan Miller coming down from Somerset, Kentucky, to take on Carter Beekman from Chattanooga. And we've seen him, seen both those guys. You know, they're both very talented, very skilled. It'd be a great main event. So as of right now, man, there's like 16 or 17 fights. There's it's going to be a loaded card, a lot of fights, and we're just pumped to get back to it, man. And it's going to be, you know, limited seating there with our social distancing requirements and whatnot. So I would advise getting your tickets in advance, because I don't expect them to be available at the door. You can do that at FighterTix.com.
Henry Cejudo, he's already willing to return, Tim, from retirement to try to win a third title. He wants Alexander Volkanovski's featherweight championship. Now, Volkanovski is going to fight on Fight Island against Max Holloway. But what do you think about Cejudo already shockingly talking about coming back?
Yeah, I'm like not shocked, man. You know, it really is not shocking at all. I think it's what you're going to see with a lot of these guys that say they're retired, man. They won't last long.
And that lasted like a couple, 2-3 weeks. And then June 20th, the next UFC event, that'll be in Las Vegas as well. Blades versus Volkov at the UFC Apex. What do you think of this one? That card also, I don't think, is all that deep.
No, man. It's got a little more intrigue than this one this weekend. But, man, Blades Volkov has potential to be a stinker.
Yeah, it could be some fireworks with the heavyweights. There's always that possibility. But
all right, heavyweights like to wrestle.
Yes. Next week, we'll break down that UFC card this Saturday, June 13th, I versus Calvillo. We'll preview that June 20th card. We'll talk more about the developing fights, and I'm sure there'll be more fight announcements for the four shows in Fight Island, as Dana White announced that. We brought that to you earlier in the show. Tim, continue to stay safe, have fun, and we'll look forward to catching up with you on the show next week.
Likewise, Vince. Looking forward to it.
That is matchmaker for Valor Fighting Challenge, Tim Loy. I'm Vince Ferrara. That'll do it for this week's In the Cage MMA Radio.
Planning to sell your home? Well, take my recommendation and call Tracy King with Kings of Real Estate. Hey, it's Ainge, and as a home seller, putting the most money in your pocket is the number one reason why you should call Tracy King. Don't take chances. While other agents make big promises, Tracy King will actually guarantee to sell your home at your agreed to upfront price, or he will buy it himself. And he'll back it up in writing. Tracy nets his sellers 3% more money and sells his homes 17 days faster than the average agent. Tracy's results speak volumes. Tracy recently sold the home on White Oak Ridge Lane. The sellers were blown away, accepting a great offer even before it was listed. Call the agent with the buyers. Thousands of ready home buyers who have their hand raised, looking to buy a home now. Take that next step. Call 365-2323. Tracy King, Kings of Real Estate, 365-2323. That's 365-2323. And start packing.
When there's stuff that you want gone, give a buzz to Junk Me Gone.
Hey, Will, it's time to call Junk Me Gone and get rid of all that stuff we don't want.
Sounds good, Josh. What do you think? Driveway dumpster or full service?
Well, I'm thinking driveway dumpster. Junk Me Gone drops it off. We get to load it up for up to 7 days, and they come pick it up. Goodbye, junk.
I don't know, Josh. I'd go with Junk Me Gone's full service. You just call them. They do all the loading. No sweat, no hassle. You just point and smile.
No, I like the idea that we can take our time with the driveway dumpster. In just 7 days, we can go through the whole office and get rid of what we don't want.
I understand, but with Junk Me Gone's two-man team, they can carry out that old ratty couch from the green room or take down that old desk upstairs that has a leg missing, all while I watch the game.
Okay, Will, let's just agree to disagree. I'll go with the driveway dumpster. You can be lazy and call full service.
Whether you choose Junk Me Gone's full service or their driveway dumpster, give a buzz to Junk Me Gone at 865-675-JUNK or book online now at junkbegone.biz.
Give a buzz to Junk Me Gone.
Since its beginning in 1968, Kitchen Sales has been Knoxville's source for fine kitchen and bathroom cabinetry. Besides carrying one of the largest selections in cabinets you'll find anywhere in East Tennessee, Kitchen Sales prides itself in being competitive with salvage store pricing while still offering free in-home consultation and design services. Kitchen Sales offers cabinets ranging from a low-budget line to a fully custom line. Whether it's a remodel, new construction, or a commercial job, their only goal is to make you a satisfied customer. Kitchen Sales experts will work with every customer customer to make their dreams become a reality. Don't forget to ask an expert about countertops, appliances, and available financing. Two locations, downtown at 2500 Hoyt Avenue, just off of Cherry Street on I-40, and in West Knoxville at 8859 Town and Country Circle. Kitchen Sales is ready to turn your home into a showplace. From design services to project completion, your one stop should be Kitchen Sales. For more information, check out their website, kitchensales.net.
Is your heating and air unit on its last legs? Don't take a chance on it. Call Chancy and Reynolds. They've worked hard on becoming the big dog of heating and cooling, offering fair prices and working with honesty and integrity. And affordable heat and air repairs just one call away. 525-5076. Chancy and Reynolds, your full-service Rheem dealer. Locally owned and in business since 1978.
The big dog of heating and cooling.
The big dog.
For listening to In the Cage MMA Radio, as Vince and Tim bring you inside the fight game of MMA with this unique weekly one-hour show. Join us again next Wednesday night, 8 to 9 on 99.1, The Sports Animal.